Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast.
And welcome into another edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers on this show. Of course, what are we? We are playing for a national championship. That's what we do at Clemson. They've had, what, five CFPs? Clemson's been in four of them. The comrade, Mike Dobreski, joins us this evening. Comrade, good evening, sir.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I want this long nightmare to be over. Alabama, please do your job so we can have some sanity back to this. And I'm starting to have some nerves right now because I saw it happen 2 years ago, and I'm afraid it could happen again. It must. Bama, please do your job. Please do your job.
Yeah. We're going to get into that.
By the way, that's not nut riding. That's me hating Clemson, okay? If you're playing Bin Laden, I'd be like, go Bin Laden. Go Bin Laden.
So okay? what you're saying is that you're down with the terrorists is what you're saying. So basically, hold on. So basically, you are not American. Congratulations. The only American on this show is sitting right here. This guy, he's even dressed in red tonight. He is a damn communist. And I tell you what, Donald Trump's going to build a wall, and he's going to put you on the other side of it because we don't put up with that here. I will not sit idly by tonight and watch you disrespect the United States of America. I will not have it on my watch.
I am Russian. Trump loves me. Listen. We have this debate in my household all the time. My wife is a student at Carolina. She's a graduate of Francis Marion. Her father's a Gamecock alum. We have no Clemson ties in the family, really. But she is a believer in the whole state idea that if Clemson's not playing South Carolina, you should pull for them, which I disagree with. And so she's already kind of started a little thing about,
this,
well,
is America.
You know, we should pull for the states. I'm like, no, that's not what we do.
This is America. So, this is America.
It's not good.
You said on the Clemson, sir. That is not American.
In a football game.
That is not American.
I don't consider Clemson American, so that's the problem.
Well,
I consider them.
You need to get it fixed. You know why? You know why you need to get it fixed? Because guess what? They win on Monday night. They are your national champion, sir.
Not mine.
They are your national champion.
Let me tell you, I am absolutely really mad at Central Florida because I was really hoping that they would beat LSU because if in the case you did beat Bama, I would not recognize your national champion. I'd say, I'm sorry, Central Florida, back-to-back national champions.
Mike, you have to remember when we started this podcast, the one thing we said, we would not argue with hardware. You cannot argue
Central
with
Florida,
hardware. Doesn't matter. The big trophy, if Clemson wins on Monday, is going home with Clemson, and they will be your national champion, sir. How do
with
you feel about that?
Asterisk next to it from what? I don't think you're going to win. I mean, I don't, like, bullet to my head or gun to my head.
Now he wants a guns. What is wrong with you?
But gun to my head, taking off all my Gamecock glasses, I think Bama's better, but I don't think the gap is big enough that you can't beat him. Does that make sense? Like it's not like Bama's playing
In some Vegas books is down to 4.5 now. Did you know that?
Well, that's not good for, because I mean, if you go by the gambling, people put money in Clemson. That's not
good. I know.
Good.
I mean, but, I get it, but I'm just saying.
I mean, so the gap is, you know, I think Bama's better, but the problem is it's not big enough that if you play a good game and you know, Bama plays a B-minus game, you can win. So you know, but I feel like you're going to lose. But
yeah,
I know, you know, and trust me, I'm not falling asleep this year, because the key was 2 years ago, I fell asleep when Bama went up like 10 points where it was. It looked like it was over. I didn't mean to fall asleep. I was tired, okay, having 800 kids in the house. And I dozed off, and I woke up to the game going off the air. It was going off the air. And I woke up and I saw Deshaun Watson like holding and like, whoa, wait a minute. What was going on? I went to the bathroom and put cold water in my face going, this is not happening. I came, watched the ESPN highlights, saw you won. And then, of course, I picked my phone up. And, of course, 5,000 notifications on Facebook. Oh, where's Comrade? Where is he? I'm like, oh, Jesus.
But, it's gonna be worse this year, because if Clemson wins, we didn't have the podcast back then. If Clemson wins, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble. Shout out to my buddy J Rock Jonathan Reynolds. He says he fears for Trevor Lawrence's life if he runs as much against Alabama as he did against Notre Dame. Yeah, you might be right about that. By the way, Texas A&M just scored again. Go to bed, J-Rock.
Yeah, that
Stop
was not
it.
Good.
That was horrible.
At least,
what the hell
at
is going
NC
on with
State
your team?
Score,
well, your team didn't score really either, so much. You should take your ass
That's
to
what
bed
I said.
Too.
I said at least NC State scored. I can't talk a whole lot of trash to Jay Reynolds, so
you,
I understand that. Although I will say,
you can't
last time we
talk
played
any
you guys,
crap to
so
anybody. We realize
the last
that, right?
time we played NC State, Jake Bentley to Debo on the dime, bam.
Yeah, that
Kurt
was
Roper's
a neutral
greatest
site.
Day ever.
That doesn't. That
it was
doesn't
Kurt
count.
Roper's shining day as an OC. What
yeah,
a game plan that was.
Now he's unemployed.
Is he unemployed? I thought he
yeah,
was.
No,
did he get
was,
fired from Colorado.
Well, he took over as the interim coach for Colorado, and they packed his ass up and sent him on out. He's gone.
He'll get a job somewhere though.
He's not getting a job anywhere.
He'll get a job. I'm not saying a head coaching job.
Reynolds
he'll
says
get a job
he
a
never liked that matchup.
Coach.
I don't think anybody likes that matchup with Texas A&M. I think they're building a beast down there. A beast. By the way, shout out to our patrons, Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk, the Czar of Clemson Sports, Thomas Danny Young, Kaylee Wandling, Keith Harrelson, Kevin Willis, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, Robert Knight, Positive Mike, who's watching online tonight, also Lisa Stare, Harkins, and Jeff Pritchett. By the way, when I mumble over that stuff, when I had a stroke, I wanted to share this with the listeners of the show. I had a stroke when I was 30, and I bit my tongue, and it was really bad. And I have a problem going from an A into an S. So saying Lisa Sister Harkins, I can't blow through it. Like, Lisa, I can't do it.
Just go Lisa Harkins. Just go Lisa Harkins.
No. The Sister is Porton. The Sister is Porton, sir. Important, sir.
We don't need to go all out.
I promise if you become a patron, we will put the name out there that you want. Unless you're Joe Anders. I'm not saying his name because Joe is a douche. We're going to talk more about Joe later.
What if Joe was sick? What if Joe was battling disease?
Yeah.
I think about this stuff now.
He got something from a fish. Anyway, let's thank our sponsors for the show. We'll start with Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport. By the way, Dennis was he appreciated the heartfelt message we had for his young men. You know, it is their birthday was Monday. And, you know, happy birthday to the Wilson twins. But a new message from the comrade tonight. Comrade, read away, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson won a national title before South Carolina won a bowl game. That's true. Clemson is playing for a national title on the night, something a Gamecock football team has never done.
That's also
My
true.
My team is so bad they could not score on Virginia, a middle-of-the-pack team in the ACC Coastal Division. We are also the only Power 5 team that was shut out in the bowl season. That's true as well. Joe Anders is dead last in the bowl pick'em. He is a one-hit wonder who likes to make out with fish. As you can see, it sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport. By the way, DNC Trucking and Transport is offering to take young Joe Anders on a fishing trip to the Goldfish Pond behind DNC Trucking and Transport. If he wants to go, get with me, Joe. You've got a fishing trip coming. Also, Wolverine Studios, you can be the GM with Wolverine Studios. This is the coolest games ever. Pro basketball, pro football, pro golf, college football, and basketball. You can be your general manager of your own team. You can be the South Carolina Gamecocks if you want. And you can, let's say you wanted to do basketball, you can go and recruit players, and it's so realistic. You can actually cheat a little bit if you want. Yeah, you can do that. Very realistic. So, got to go and check this out. Go to WolverineStudios.com, download the free demo. This is cool right now with pro football, too, because you can download it and draft your team and see if you can make it to the playoffs. Great stuff. WolverineStudios.com. 15% off if you use the promo code COMRAD.
And by the way, big news from Gary. Yeah. Gary Gorski, who is the developer of all these games, he is going to send me a beta copy. Now, those know the word beta. Beta is when a game is about to come out, but it's not quite ready for the public yet.
Yep.
The beta copy comes out to a few select people who get to kind of play with it and let the people know any glitches. So the new college football game, 2019, is coming out. It's got a lot of great. I'm going to put it up on our Facebook page tomorrow, the blog post on all about the new features of it. But every year, every version, they add more in-depth, more detail, more realistic. You're running an actual Power 5 or a college football program. You can start off at a lousy school, a mid-major as a coach, and work your way up and do it that way. Or you can go ahead and take over big-time schools like the Gamecocks if you want to. You can do it that way as well. But it's really cool. College basketball, the new game's coming out for that one in March, February, March. We're going to have Gary on at some point to talk about that. We get to our March Madness brackets and do all that stuff too. So really cool. Check it out. College football, college basketball, NBA, pro football. You can have your own little sports world in there with all these games at WolverineStudios.com.
WolverineStudios.com. Go and check it out today. Download the free demo. You buy a game, 15% off if you use the code word COMRAD. Also, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. Got to go and check them out. Highway 1 behind Walmart. Billy and Cheddar Bob, Mike Muse are there. They own the place. Nice little family-owned bar. Not very many places you can go now that are owned by a family. They all work together to keep it going. By the way, they sponsor the Callaway's Bowl Challenge. In addition to a couple of other things, they sponsor the Pick'em Challenge. But the Bowl Challenge, it's down to two people. Myself and Brian Peek are duking it out through 39 games. I got 24 correct. He also got 24 correct. That eliminates everybody else. There will be, because he has picked Alabama, I have picked Clemson. Clemson wins, I take it home. Alabama wins, he takes it home. Simple as that. So thanks to everybody who played that. Final standings, Jamie Phillips is the Buffalo Bills of this thing. Always, one pick back. He finished the
second time. I think second he did lose. Was the bowl last year or the March Madness last year? Lost by a pick.
I can't remember. It was close. But Jamie Phillips is at 23. Chris Drivers at 23, Chris Smith at 22, Cheddar Bob, Mike Muse at 21, Dennis Wilson's at 21, along with Richard Head, 20, Rubens at 20, Jeff Pritchett. Pritchett is like, Jeff ran his mouth a good bit about how he was going to smack people around, and he finishes at 19. Several other folks at 19, including Gary Gorski, Ken Bellinger, Tabitha Sims, Jason Sims, Tyrone Quarles, Donnie Jennings, Gary Mills, Thomas Dana Young, The Comrade, Eddie Hicks, Lisa Harkins, McCurry, J-Rock, Jeremy McClure is at 18, Lewis Boland's at 18, along with Kip Berry, Billy Muse is at 17, Cale Hall is at 16, Jeremy Spires is at 15, Ben Simmons, our recruiting show expert, is also at 15. And Joe Anders is at 12, dead last. I got twice as many picks correct as he did, proving Joe doesn't know anything. There you
Joe go. Won our regular season contest. He was yep. on fire all year long. And yep. what a drop off. I mean, that is like first to worst.
He's Milli Vanilli. We found out he's a fake. He had one hit. Blame it on the rain and get the hell out of here, Joe.
That was really bad.
Really terrible. All right, so here's what we're going to get into tonight. I have some questions for the comrade about some stuff with the Gamecock football team. We're going to do a full national championship preview on Sunday night, and we'll go position by position and talk about who's going to be better at what spots. But tonight, I thought that we would get into some stuff with the Gamecocks, and I thought we'd talk a little bit about the bowl season and how it wrapped up. There were some shocking bowl games to me. I think we'll go with that first, Mike. Probably the biggest bowl game shocker to me was the Georgia-Texas game, because I picked Texas to cover. I thought Texas would lose by 10, but I never thought Georgia would go out there and get bitch slapped, which is exactly what happened.
Well, you know, you text me the other day before the game because you had Texas plus 11, and I think either Brian Peek at Georgia. And so I thought Georgia was going to beat them up pretty good. I thought, you know, and here's the thing.
And you sent me the text and said you think Georgia's going to beat them.
Then I said, like a half hour later, I'm like, you know, or
we're going to get into could, that.
Tom. Here's the thing. When it comes to the bowl games, that, and this happens a lot, obviously, at all the bowl games, this happens a lot, though. And so Georgia's in that situation where they can either, I thought they might come out like mad, like a chip on their shoulder. We're going to prove that the college football committee screwed us, because they were doing that on Twitter the whole night when their name looked horrible. We're going to show how good we are, kind of like what USC used to do. I mean, Southern Cal used to do a lot of times in the Rose Bowl. When they would lose a game, they'd slip up during the season, lose a game, and not get the big game. And they would just toast the Big Ten team by 40. Yep. And you go, man, I think that's the best team in the country. You know, it happened a few times. You go, man, I think that Trojans are the best team in the country. You know, I like to see them against, you know, whoever, Bama or whoever won that year. And so I thought Georgia was going to do that. And then I sent a text back to you about a half hour after I sent the first one. I go, or they could be demoralized after being so close to you know, because the loss to Bama was horrible. Had the lead, okay, looked like they were going to the playoffs, and then all of a sudden let it slip away. And on top of that, they still might have been thinking after the game was over, okay, we still might get in the playoffs, and didn't. They go, they could be coming out demoralized and flat and stale. And so, and listen, Texas, you got to give them credit. Texas played really well, and Texas is a program that, if you get the right coach in there, can be really good down the line. So Texas played well, too. So, but Georgia didn't look like they were prepared. They looked very kind of out of it. They looked like they were undisciplined, and not a good look for Kirby Smart. But, you know, it was definitely a weird game for Georgia.
Well, you know what? I think people need to remind Kirby Smart, you can get to the pinnacle all that you want, but if you don't go over it at Georgia, they're eventually going to get tired of you. Ask Mark Rick about that. And I know that sounds like it. If you look at their records, though, and obviously they're going to give him more time. I'm not saying that he's on the hot seat, but if he doesn't get it together, I say two more seasons like this, and there's going to be people that are going to start talking. Wait a minute. Why can't we win the SEC and beat Alabama? And then if we get there, why can't we win the national title? That's what it's going to come down to. So I really think that's going to happen with Georgia. But just kind of an embarrassing loss there. Some questions online there from some of our folks watching on Facebook Live this evening. We'll go ahead and get into the Gamecocks. Yeah, there were a lot of injuries in that game. We kind of went over that. The whole thing with Will Muschamp only using like 8 of his 15 practices, I have a serious problem with that if I'm a Gamecock fan. And I'll tell you why. And I'm not just railing on Muschamp here. I just don't agree with the strategy, okay? what he said was is that he didn't want to have all those extra practices because it's almost like a punishment type thing going into the bowl game, having all these practices. And I get where he's coming from, but you can let your upperclassmen have that time off. You should have had your freshmen out there running, or especially if you're going to make position changes like with A.J. Turner, who was out there trying to play in your secondary. Yeah, he should have had some more run in practice. I'm just saying. Maybe they would have looked better. But the other thing that I have an issue with is that there was a constant push from Gamecock social media from Ray Tanner and and just the general football page, the USC Athletics page. Make sure you get your tickets to the Belk Bowl. And, you know, the Gamecock fans, you have to give them credit. They sold their total allotment, which they probably would have sold them anyway. But just the way that it came out was, yeah, we're gonna go try to do our best in the Belk Bowl. And even Muschamp admitted they didn't really give their best there, and they looked like they didn't know what they were doing. And I'm not saying that he should be fired over this, because coaches make mistakes, but I guarantee you, if it comes to next season, if you have 15 practices, you should probably use more than 8 and at least run your freshmen out there and do something with them.
Well, you also remember, too, the team has like 5 million injuries, so I'm not sure the number of bodies they have, number one. I'm not sure how much he wants to get any other guys injured as well. That's part of it, too. In terms of the effort, you can't – there's no excuse to the effort. They didn't play well at all. But, you know, as a Gamecock fan, and I mock Virginia a lot, too, and the reason why, you know, this game kind of stunk for Gamecock fans, too, was because like last year, for example – you're playing in an Outback Bowl, you're in Florida, and you're playing against Michigan. Now, you can talk if Michigan's overrated or whatever it is, or they're bad, but it's Michigan. Just the name, the helmets, the team, you're playing against Michigan. And so you knew going in, if you could beat Michigan, that was a way to kind of, you know, really get your offseason going for next year. This year we're going to Charlotte, an hour up the road. It's a bus ride, okay? There's no really bowl game ambiance for the players. It's like a, you know, whatever. It's like a game you're going to be playing next year, set the season out. And you're playing against Virginia. If you beat Virginia, everyone's going to say, they're Virginia. You should beat them. If you lose to them, like everybody's saying right now, you guys lost to a freaking crappy-ass ACC team. And so it was a lousy kind of set to begin with. It's why I was really hoping for a Gator Bowl game down in Jacksonville against probably a big – who played the Gator Bowl this year? Was it
– Texas A&M and NC State.
It was NC State. Okay, you played NC State. I know early in the – like about a month ago, the Gator Bowl had a Big 12 team in there.
Right.
Projection of the Gamecocks, like playing a team like Baylor maybe or Oklahoma State, something like that. And that would have been pretty cool. You know, that scenario right there, you play Oklahoma State or a team like that, then all of a sudden now I think the game – I'm not saying we win the game, but I think you see the game different in terms of the intensity, in terms of how prepared they are, all those things are too. So it was kind of a bad storm for all that stuff right there. So hopefully next year the Gamecocks don't put themselves in a position that we're playing in a Belk Bowl against an ACC team like Virginia. Hopefully they can get to a point. I mean, I'm predicting right now, Gator Bowl next year, just from the standpoint the Gator Bowl has wanted us for a while.
I don't see how you could possibly say that. But some Gator comments Bowl from Facebook Live. It was a half-ass effort. That's from Charlie Rabin. He says his wife and family are UVA fans. They acted like they won the Super Bowl. Jeff says it's a no-win situation. Todd says he loves all the excuses. Beth says you want a better bowl, play better all season. That's a fact.
That's what I said, Beth.
Look.
Open your ears.
Look, when you talk about that, though, and you talk about you're predicting next year that you are going to have to go to the Gator Bowl. That's what you just said. Am I correct?
Well, I mean, understand how bowls work, though, too. Bowls don't like taking the same teams year after year. So the Belk Bowl
I'm with you that. The Belk Bowl may not want you. The Outback Bowl's not going to want you. But you're going to be a 6 or 7 win team next season. So you could go to the Music City Bowl. That may be the next bowl. The
Gator Bowl has wanted us for the last several years now when we had decent seasons. And for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out that way. So I think the Gator Bowl's not had us since like 30 years. So that's why I'm saying I think the Gamecocks, I think that will finally happen, a little Gator Bowl trip next year in Jacksonville. And that'll be a good little road trip for the Gamecock fans to take.
I don't think you're going to win enough games to get to the Gator Bowl is what I'm trying to tell you.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, have you looked at your schedule, sir?
We'll see. I don't think the Gator Bowl, if you looked at your schedule. Wins are, though, too. Look at other teams in the Gator Bowl the past few years. What was the A&M record this year?
A&M finished, what, 9-3?
Wait, 9-3?
Yeah. I'll pull it up right now, but the SEC team in the Gator Bowl, if you look at their record, I'm going to pull it up right now, so just so I can make sure that I'm on the same page here. But yeah, the Gator Bowl is one of the top bowls, you know? I mean, it's not, you know, Texas A&M finished 9-4 overall. So
they're eight and four
in the regular season, so 9-4 going into the Gator Bowl. That's winning the Gator Bowl. So you're going to have 8 wins. I think the year before, who was in the Gator Bowl the year before? You know,
I think eight wins is possible next year.
You think 8 wins is possible next year?
We did this last podcast.
I'm asking because if you look at this, Mississippi State and Louisville played in the Gator Bowl last season, and Mississippi State was 9-4. So you're going to have to be an 8-win SEC team to get to the Gator Bowl. And
I think I predicted last week eight wins. I think I'm going to win eight. Looking at the schedule right now, how things are, have depth on defense. You've got Kinlaw. You got Wanham. You've got Pickens coming in as a freshman. We'll start right away. You've got Cam Smith, a freshman, who's lighting things up at the All-American Bowl, Under Armour game, whatever they call that game out there in practices. I think you're going to see a team with more depth. A lot of guys coming back, only now with more depth. So when we have injuries, we won't be a walking sieve in there. So we'll get a better lead each year. So.
I don't think you're going to have better depth next year.
I believe so.
The kid from Westwood.
I find it hard to believe too that next year we're going to have the injuries we had this year. I mean, I would hope the football gods would be. The idea that, oh, you're going to be, you know, I would hope that maybe next year, maybe the football gods say, okay, you're going to be kind of healthy this year. That'd be nice, too.
That's a fair statement. You could say that. But I love the Gamecock fans, by the way, that are putting videos and stuff up of this young man from Westwood doing well in practice. And I'm all about the kid doing well, but it's kind of funny because they had him, like, with one pass breakup on Frank Latson from Clemson, and they're all talking about, oh, he's gonna lock this guy down at Clemson. Let me give you a note here, okay? This kid coming in, he is a good player, all right? He's good enough that he should start next season for the Gamecocks. He's probably gonna be, if we were rating defensive backs, he would be your DB2 behind J.C. Horn, who is DB1. Am I out on a limb saying that, Mike?
Yep.
Okay, so that you agree with me being the Gamecock guy there. Here's the thing.
J.C. Horn is really good.
J.C. Horn is excellent. He was one of the best Gamecock players this year. But what you dumb Gamecock fans don't get is that when he matches up with Clemson, because that's what you were talking about, he's going to shut down this guy from Clemson next year. He's not going to line up against Latson. He's going to have to cover T. Higgins, or he's going to have to cover Justin Ross. Okay? Frank Ladson will probably be our fifth wideout next year. So stop with the bull crap of he's going to come in and lock down Frank Ladson. You're going to have to defend T. Higgins as a junior and, of course, Justin Ross as a sophomore. And I'm not saying that he won't do well against them, but don't sit here and say he's going to go up there and lock down a Clemson receiver as a freshman when they've had 2 years on the weight program. And Justin Ross is making plays in the college football playoff, and this young man is basically making plays in high school. There's a hell of a jump from high school to college. Now, I think this young man's going to play and play well. Don't get me wrong on that. But to think he's going to go up there and lock down a Clemson receiver or any receiver off the bat is kind of far-fetched. All right, go ahead, Mike. What do you think about that?
First of all, you know how I feel about recruits, okay? I have no
idea. Did anything I say come off as negative or not factual? Because I'd love to hear your end of it. Seriously.
I have no idea how any of these guys will play until they get here. Okay. So I'll
but
make
is
my
it,
judgment then.
Is it or is it not naive to think that this guy's going to come in and lock down a receiver at Clemson? That is a junior who's been on the weights program forever.
This has been a crappy ass week for Gamecock fans, okay? So we see a recruit coming in who is locking down two of your recruits. We're going to be optimistic. No one's saying he's going to come in and lock down T. Higgins, yada, 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 yada. We're saying he's a talent. He looks talented. You are assuming now he's coming into a Will Muschamp defense. Will Muschamp has a track record of making defensive players, especially defensive backs, become well-paid players in the NFL in terms of development. And so if you're a Gamecock fan, you have to kind of see the building process happening, which, of course, me being the Muschamp fan, me being the believer in Muschamp, it's a good sign going forward that we're going to have more talent in the field, more depth in the field, and so forth. Now,
I think he might make the Cowboys be a bust.
All these guys might be a bust. You don't know.
Me personally, I think he's going to come in and he will start. But that has more to do with the fact that the rest of your secondary sucks other than J.C. Horn. Just being honest.
We've got to get more. He's getting more of his players in right now.
I'm not saying he's not, but I'm just saying stop. Just stop and take a break.
As I said before, you look for hope. Okay? That's what people have. You hope for the future. You see talented kids. And also, Zach Pickens looked really good, too, in practice there. So two of the guys
Zach are going to
really
be Pickens is going to be a beast. He's going to be a great player. He's going to be a great player, Pickens is. I don't have a problem saying that. David Fuhrer, depth on defense.
Real quick, would it be worse if the news out of those practices was that Cam Smith can't cover nobody? He's getting burned on stuff?
I guarantee, if that was happening,
if reports were that Cam Smith has not covered a guy yet in practice, I'm pretty sure you would bring it up in the podcast. Am I right? You say, hey, what do you think about Cam Smith?
Mike, when have I ever brought up recruits and ripped recruits? Come on now.
I'm just saying, if Zach Pickens...
No. You're questioning my integrity, sir. I don't rip recruits.
Okay, well, let's play. Do you think Clemson fans in the social media would bring up?
There are Clemson fans that would do that, but don't put that hat on me. So, I don't do that.
So there's going to be Gamecock fans on social media who are going to bring up the fact that Cam Smith and Pickens are getting good reports of the practice. That's how it works. So you're picking on Gamecock fans on Twitter
I can't believe they're saying this.
I'm picking on them because
what they're saying is stupid. They're talking about he's going to lock down Clemson players next year. And that is a jump for any freshman. Look, Stephon Gilmore was one of the best defensive backs that I ever covered when I did sports reports for the entire state for a while, okay? And his freshman year, what? What about Gilmore?
Gilmore was rated, I'm not sure these metrics now, rated as the best cornerback in the NFL this past year in terms of whatever they do by their stats in terms of passes defensed or whatever metric they use. So,
yeah, well, Gilmore's a great player, but he was probably the best defensive back that I've ever physically laid eyes on and covered when I did sportscast and stuff like that. And he, but his freshman year, he started his freshman year, but he had some issues too. You know what I mean? He needed to get his weight up a little bit. That happens with every kid. But it's funny to me that I've got people that want to run their mouth about, oh, this guy's going to lock down a Clemson receiver. Just stop. And here's the other thing on that, too. We're the same thing, and Clemson fans are bad about this, too, with certain players. But I can remember the whole thing with Tekarion Joyner. This is something else I wanted to ask you about from the bowl game. You're getting hammered by Virginia. Why in God's name would you not send that young man out there to at least do something different? Your thoughts on that?
Listen, I don't see him at practice. Maybe he's awful in practice. Maybe he's not even close. I mean, I don't know. Like, this happens, he's having all the time, too, at Connor Mitch. Remember Connor Mitch?
Connor Mitch
would be the next great, like, quarterback, okay? He was the guy that Spurrier, apparently, when he was recruited, that Spurrier was going to make sure he didn't retire until Connor Mitch was done. Like, he was going to be the next thing. And so, Gamecock fans wanted to see him all the time. Like, I just want to give him a look, you know? And yet, all we heard was he was having a hard time winning the backup job over, was it Dylan Thompson? I forgot who he was now.
It wasn't Perry Orr, it was Chris Smelly.
No, it wasn't Smelly. That's the later on. No, it wasn't Smelly.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, I'm going blank on. But anyway, he wasn't the de facto second string guy. Like, we didn't know who would come in if I think it was when Dylan Thompson got hurt.
Well, but
he wasn't the de facto second string guy. And so I would tell people, I go, the fact that he's not second string tells me that in practice something's wrong. And of course, then he took over the starting job, and we saw him for ourselves. And like, good Lord. We all saw that he wasn't good. And then he got hurt and all that stuff too. But even before he got hurt,
I'm with you on that. But my thing with this is he's a former Mr. Football. He's not being able to see the field. And if he doesn't play well in spring ball, he may transfer. And we may never know how good of a quarterback he was going to be. Now, I'm not indicting the coaching staff on this. I'm just saying, if you're up there and Bentley's doing what he's doing, you're already losing 21-0. If you don't put Joyner in there, put freaking Skarnecchia in there. Do something different. I mean, you want to take chances. These are the chances they took. They took A.J. Turner and made him a defensive back. He's looking over to the sidelines, but he had no clue what the hell he was doing, Mike. Todd Ellis on the radio call was flabbergasted. He's like, he's lining up on the wrong side of the field. He's looking at T-Rob on every play. Todd Ellis is dumber than dirt, and he's looking down, and he's mocking your coach. That's the big gamble that they took. Instead of trying a different person at quarterback or running some wildcat or something, after Virginia was hammering you, do something different. It was just terrible.
Like, do you think we have a package for Joyner in play right now? When he sits for a wildcat, you can't just run a wildcat and say, if you haven't, if that's not something you put
had,
in your offense.
You had wildcat. Didn't you run some wildcat stuff with Samuel? I'm not bitching. I'm just asking.
Has Joyner run that though? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a practice.
Wildcat's not that freaking complicated. Snap the ball and run.
Well,
it's not really that complicated, Mike. I mean, let's be honest.
I don't think that, you know, the game on Saturday wasn't Bentley's. You know, Bentley didn't play great, but
no,
it wasn't.
I don't
Bentley.
Think it was Bentley's thing.
Bentley,
I think that there was.
If you bench Bentley, I'm not sure that's great for next year. You're making it seem like you're putting the onus on him, and it wasn't. You know, you have to think about next year too. Next year, Bentley's your guy. Okay, he's the guy you're going with. He's a starting quarterback, and it's a perfect scenario. You got Helsinki coming in, who will be the backup and kind of learn from Bentley. If Bentley goes down, gets hurt,
well,
Helsinki can come in and so forth, but you can pass the torch to him. I don't think benching Bentley in a bowl game.
I'm not saying bench him. I'm saying run this guy out there for a series or two.
I'm not sure if they had that in. I'm pretty sure the Gamecocks probably thought they could probably walk in the field.
Hold on. Do you think if maybe they practiced a couple more times than eight, they would have had the opportunity to put a Wildcat set in there? Just a question.
I'm not sure they wanted to, though. That's the thing.
Holy shit. Joyner was one of the best athletes of your class, Mike. There was never a question about his athletic ability.
Well, I'm not sure that's the plan for him. He had a kind of a tweet the other day, kind of a cryptic tweet that made it seem like he's thinking about transferring. That wouldn't shock me.
He's going to transfer. You know where I think he's going to go? Honestly, where I think he's going to go? Do you remember Aramis Hillary?
Yes.
Yeah. Aramis Hillary ended up going to Coastal. I think that young man is going to go play ball for Joe Moglia at Coastal. I think that's where he's going to go, and he's going to go tear up the Sun Belt and look like he's just a big bad guy. And I think Gamecock fans will be like, well, why didn't we keep him? But I do agree with you on the front of it had to be something in practice because – you know, if they felt that great about him, they would have played him more in the Missouri game. They would have played him more in the Akron game. They would have done a lot more with him in the Chattanooga game. They could have done some more stuff with him there as well.
Listen, okay. I mean, I haven't seen him in practice. Okay, all I saw him was a spring game. He's really short.
Yeah. What was the first thing we looked at each other and said? Yeah. What was the first thing we said?
I'm not saying he can't be good, but he doesn't, you know, you got to be able to throw the football, too. You can't just run the ball. This is not like, mid-major ball where you can have a running quarterback who runs the ball. I mean, and I'm not sure how to get to the point. And keep in mind now, it'd be one thing the Gamecocks had no quarterbacks. The Gamecocks got Bentley. I know you think he's trash, whatever.
No. I've said that I don't think he's won anything.
And they got a Luke Doty kid coming in who are all probably better than Joyner. And so, if he transfers, I mean, that stinks. If he wants to play quarterback, he needs to transfer. He's not going to play quarterback here. Not with the guys we have coming in. And if he's okay with playing with the Gamecocks and say, listen, I'll be a slot receiver or a wild package, then that'd be smart if he's that kind of athlete to do so. But if he wants to be quarterback or nothing, then he probably needs to transfer.
I think he's going to be – I think if they made him a wide receiver or in the secondary, they could – I do think that Muschamp can coach the secondary, and I think if he took the time and worked with Joyner, that he could be a good secondary guy in the SEC. Just my opinion. But either way, I think he's going to transfer. A couple of notes from Facebook Live. Beth says Georgia fans were upset that Smart never pulled Jake Fromm. And Todd says Kirby wasn't playing Justin Fields. Justin Fields is also going to transfer. It wouldn't surprise me if he ended up at Ohio State or if he goes to Oklahoma. That's my other dark horse in that because, think about this, though. Lincoln Riley is one of the most fascinating coaches to me in football right now. He's been the head coach for 2 years at Oklahoma. He's had two Heisman winners and two CFP appearances. That's pretty damn impressive. Now, if I'm Justin Fields, I don't know if Kyler Murray's going to play next season or not. I don't know if he's going to play or not, if he's just going to play baseball. But if Lincoln Riley visits and wants you to come to Oklahoma, that's where the hell you need to go. Oklahoma's returning three of those offensive linemen that were pretty good against Alabama. That's where Justin Fields needs to go, unless he wants to go beat up on tomato cans in the Big Ten. But yeah, he's gonna go. And the Georgia fans that were complaining about that, I agree with Kirby Smart for not playing him, because I'm pretty sure Fields has told him, yeah, I'm transferring out. Reports from the locker room where he wasn't even there after the game. Like, they have that 20-minute cooling off period, and he was gone. Didn't want to talk to the press, was out of there. So you can't expect Kirby Smart to put this kid in there in that game for two reasons. One, he probably doesn't want to be a Georgia Bulldog anyway anymore. And second, what if he puts him in there and he blows out his knee? And you're completely ruining the kid's future from transferring anywhere else. So I agree with keeping Jake Fromm in there. Maybe run your third string guy. I don't know. But Georgia fans were upset about that. So a couple other bold things that I wanted to get into this evening, Mike. Probably the two best SEC bowl spots that played well, other than Texas A&M. I was impressed with Auburn, but I was big-time impressed with Kentucky. And I know you're not a Kentucky guy. You've railed Kentucky all season. But you know what? Kentucky's going to finish as a top 10 team in the country. So I thought we'd give you this evening, and you could apologize to the Wildcats because you shit on them all year, and they're going to finish in the top 10. So just say I'm sorry. It's okay.
That game was a huge game for them because to win 10 games at Kentucky is the first time since 77, I believe.
Yep, 1977.
And, kind of a once in a generational thing for that program. And the reason why I get mad losing Kentucky is the fact that the fact that them winning 10 games is the first time in some 30 years is – or 40 years is – it's a program we shouldn't be losing five in a row to. That's my whole point.
You should give them some respect.
In this past year's game, we play horrible against them. And now part of that is the fact that they play well.
Maybe that's had something to do with their defense and the fact that they've got a guy who's probably going to be one of the top five picks in the draft.
But listen, a lot of the stuff we do against them are self-inflicted mistakes that we do ourselves.
Holy shit.
And they've had some luck, too. The first time we lost to them was that freaking ball that, I mean, it deflects off, hits off a helmet, lands in the dude's bat freaking stomach, and he walks
to
the end.
I'm not talking about the Kentucky team from a year ago.
I'm annoyed. Now listen, they played great. It was a big win. They held down for the win. Benny Snell. I had a great career, had a great game there. It's a big deal for them. I hate Penn State, so I wasn't exactly mad at them for winning that game. I was actually proud because I have a couple Penn State friends.
Why can't you just say Kentucky had a good season? They're going to finish in the. They're going to finish in the top 10, Mike.
Game, a huge win. Had a huge season winning 10 games. I said like three times. It was a big deal to them.
They're going
to
finish in the top 10.
They should. That's awesome.
Let me put this out there for next year. They will not have Benny Snell. They will not have Josh Allen. They will. I think they're returning eight starters on that defense, though. And they've still got Bolin, I think, is their best playmaker. Wilson, the quarterback, is my God. He's terrible. He is terrible. But they do come to Columbia next year, and we'll goof about it. But if you guys don't beat them in Columbia next year, holy shit. I mean, seriously. With the guys they're losing playing at home with your guys, that's one of your games that I look at, and I'm like, yeah, that's an SEC win in my opinion, just by what they've got leaving and the fact you're going to have a senior quarterback. If you don't win that game, I'm going to mock you until the end of time because that means that Kentucky's just got your number. Can you agree with me on that or not?
Yeah. I'll be really, yeah.
Will it trigger you more to lose to Kentucky or lose at Tennessee?
Well, I mean, I mean, I was mad we lost Kentucky this year. The only saving grace in it is that Kentucky had a 10-win season. So I feel a little bit better saying, okay, well, they are a good team as opposed to them going. Like last year, for example, we finished ahead of them in the standings, which I told you we would do. And so it made me even more triggered last year we lost to them because they weren't a good team. We lost to them. At least this year they were a good team, okay, so forth. So if we lose to them next year, it will trigger me a lot more than any other loss ever this season, besides we lose to, like, Charleston or Appalachian State or something like that.
State's a tough game. I'm not saying that that's going to be a walkover. But if you're asking me for a conference win on your schedule you should have next year that's not Vanderbilt, Kentucky should be it. Just saying. If it's not, stand by because we will play my old Kentucky home for the rest of the year. We will open the podcast with my old Kentucky home for the rest of the year if the Gamecocks cannot beat Kentucky next season. All right, so a couple of other bowl games that kind of were interesting. What was the other game that I had in my head? From the ACC, North Carolina State was terrible. We talked about that. Clemson played well. Oh, we got into Syracuse, right? Syracuse played pretty well in their bowl game. I know West Virginia didn't have Will Grier, but still an impressive outing there from Syracuse. Going into next season, I think that when I fill out my paperwork at the ACC kickoff, yeah, that's going to be – I may have to think about moving Syracuse up a little bit because I know they're losing Eric Dungy, but, yeah, that, I really have to think about that next year.
But yeah, apparently – I'm not sure their quarterback's name. His name always escapes
me. Eric Dungy. Pay attention.
No, not him. The quarterback replacing next year. Oh. They have a kid who's taking over next year, so they're really, really good. My dad tells me all the time about him too, but I kind of tune my dad out sometimes. My dad's a Syracuse alum. And so he's really excited about him. And so the Cuse could be – dangerous next year too. So I look
Clemson
out
has to go to the Carrier Dome and play there in front of what 30,000 people, and it's going to be tough because last time they played there, yeah, they ended up getting smacked around. So I was going to ask you, do you want to go to ACC kickoff this year?
Sure.
Are you serious?
I will go. I mean, I'm excited right now. I want to sit by Quackenbush or Quackenbush.
Oh, God. I can't take you with me to ACC kickoff if you're going to.
I would be good, but I will not take anyone's crap. Like, if he says something to me about, that's a cute little podcast, Jim. I'm going to listen, dude. Don't get mad.
No, because if you're going, I'm going to have to set you up as my co-host for my Fox Sports show.
That's fine.
That's how that works. So, well, I'm asking if you want to go because
I want to go. I do want to go.
Well, it's July 18th and 19th. So, yeah, there's that.
This should be fine. That should not be a problem.
Well, we'll have to set it up where you can go for that. And finally, are you going to go – are we going to do spring games this year?
Spring – it depends when they are. I have to look and see. The spring games are a problem because of my dad comes in April from Arizona for the week.
Right.
My son usually has a bunch of baseball games that week. So last year, the Gamecock game was perfect because before Easter.
Right.
It was for the Easter thing, so it worked out good because my son had no baseball that week because the Clemson game was in a bad timing. So it depends.
If we can maneuver it, would you go to Clemson for the spring game?
I would go if my son's not playing, if they don't need me for down here for transportation and games, I can go. It depends when my dad's not down the road.
I plan on going to both games. So, but if I do go up to Clemson, I'm going to watch the baseball game too this year. So I'm going to catch the football game, and then they generally have a baseball game that weekend too. So I'm gonna watch
I love watching baseball. So I've never actually seen a baseball game in that stadium before.
Really?
Sorry, no. I've seen a bunch of games in Greenville against Clemson.
How many have you seen in North Augusta?
I have not seen any North Augusta, but I have back in the day, Carmelly baseball. I need to get that new stadium.
You and our buddy Jimmy?
Yeah, that's an old joke because of the weather.
And here's another old joke. Rob is able to get media passes. You are right about that, Beth. I can get us media credentials. Now, if we go to the baseball game, I'm not going to sit in the press box. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I am one of the people that if I'm going to sit in the press box, I'm actually going to be covering the game and doing reports for the station or whatever. I'm not just going to go up there as a fan. I don't do that. I think that's disrespectful and rude. I don't like guys like there's plenty of Clemson guys that do it. I don't like them. I don't like David Cloninger from the Post and Courier going because that guy's got a Gamecock tattooed on his forehead. If I go to a game, I wear like my iHeart Media polo shirt and a pair of khaki pants, and I look like I'm a reporter because that's what I am. You won't see me walk into a Clemson press box with a Clemson Tiger Paul shirt on. I won't do it. I won't go to a Gamecock game with a Gamecock shirt on or a Clemson shirt on or whatever. I just won't do it. Maybe I'm just too old school in my ways, but I just think that's rude and disrespectful. And I think that if you're going to go up there and be in the press box, you can't go in there with a slant. You really need to be working. So that's how I am. And I think Mike is the same way, if he's honest. Like, if he goes to a Fireflies game, he doesn't go in there with an agenda. He goes to cover the game, right?
I'm going in there to track down prospects my list and try to get some interviews with them.
You're doing something with prospects. You're not there as a Boston Red Sox apologist, right?
No, most of the time they're looking at Fireflies and Mets guys, but most guys and they're trying to see. I like to have little things where I keep this notebook I have, and so when I see a prospect, I kind of write about them and kind of make a prediction of what I think they're going to be, and then I see if I'm right. Like some guys I've seen, like there's one guy for the Lexington Legends for the Royals organization, Nick Prado, who I think is going to be a superstar. I think he's going to be like a George Brett, Chipper Jones kind of a guy, like left-handed, sweet swing. Got a great video of him hitting a home run down low from my phone. It's on my YouTube channel. And so I'm rooting for him. Another guy, Shalou Mateus. Like there's certain guys I root for now because I think they're going to be good from what I saw. And so I like to see if I'm right. Other guys I've seen who are highly prospect guys, I don't think they're that good. I think they're overrated. So I'm not rooting against them, but I kind of track them to see what they do. So that's kind of what I do when I go to Firefly games and do that kind of thing. I try talking to scouts too.
My point is that I won't go sit in the press box unless I'm actually working. And that's why I was going to tell you, if I take you to ACC kickoff with me, you can't be a dick to what's his name. You have to actually be there and be doing something that's worthwhile.
Not be a dick unless someone's a dick to me.
He's not going to say anything to you because I'm going to tell him you're a co-host for my show. And you're going to be there, and we're going to have interviews set up with ACC players and coaches. And that's what we're going to do. We're actually going to go and work. So if you want to come and work with me, you can. If not, then you can just stay home, and then I'll podcast from there. But I wanted to offer.
I'll be great.
What?
One thing that I want to bring up real quick, though. When I go to Firefly games, the best thing I do is go down behind home plate and talk to scouts. You want to find out about lots of people around the league. Talk to scouts, who they've seen, who they saw 5 years ago, who's got drug problems, all they tell you everything. that's one thing I do too. I get all kinds of stuff that
from scouts. That,
yeah, what scouts. You're
telling me. So good stuff. Our final thing tonight before we get out of here, Mike, we lost a legend today, and I'm trying
two legends.
Oh well, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, go ahead. You go ahead and give your legend, which is a legend as well. But for me, there's two legends. But go ahead.
Well, what was your legend? I don't know what you're
talking
about.
You do your legend first.
Well, I'm trying to grab the audio for my legend, so do your legend there, dummy.
Okay. Well, do that first, then I'll tell you about mine.
Okay. Well, I'm bringing up the audio for my legend right now, who my legend passed away today, and this is somebody that I grew up with and made me like kind of want to be a broadcaster. Mean Gene Okerlund, which he was one of the guys, like he was the big stick man from the WWE. He was a guy that would always here's a clip of it now. Yeah, let's see here. I don't know if I have the actual clip here, but he would say things like his big thing was with Hulk Hogan, like everything was, you know, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. That was everything, and I just remember that as a kid. But he had like an iconic voice. Just when he talked, it was so outstanding. Here we go.
Here in the Bay Area, the World Wrestling Federation returns.
Yeah.
San Francisco and the Cow Palace Tuesday night, August the 25th.
I mean,
I know my good friend Kevin O'Brien looking forward.
Listen to this for just a second.
It's truly going to be a sensational evening of World Wrestling Federation action. 7:30 p.m. How about this? Billy Jack and Ken Patera as the team to meet Demolition. Later on, Brutus the Barber Beefcake has his eyes on Danny Davis.
And here comes Hulk Hogan.
Heavyweight champion of the world has his sights set on Killer Khan. Hulk Hogan, yeah. Title defense for you here in the Bay Area at the Cow Palace on August 25th. This Killer Khan, everybody I think knows what's happened in the past between you and him, and you and Mr. Fuji.
Well, we're a nation that seems to be.
Anyway, that was my big thing, is Mean Gene Okerlund passing away, a voice of my youth. And somebody that made me want to get into broadcasting. He's just lights out great. Comrade, well, who is your legend that passed away today?
Well, Mean Gene's my legend, too. I mean, a lot of guys on here who die from wrestling you bring up, I never heard before, okay? I'm a WWF, that's what I was back when I was a kid, WWF, WWE guy. And Mean Gene Okerlund was a WWF guy that I grew up with. I'm a Hulk Hogan guy. And what I love about Mean Gene was the fact that, I mean, listen, wrestling is a, you know, it's a drama, it's a make-believe kind of a thing. And the key to it, though, was Gene Okerlund sold it. I mean, he was the straight man. I mean, he looked like he was sitting there covering the Middle East War Bureau.
Oh, yeah.
When Hulk Hogan is talking,
the clip
like,
you just
like
had.
Hulk Hogan is an outrageous thing, and Mean Gene is like, with his face is like he's covering, peace talks between two nations. I mean, and that's what sold. He was so good at that. So, a big loss there. The other legend that died today or yesterday was Bob Einstein. Bob Einstein, better known as Super Dave Osborne.
Oh, yeah.
Also, he was on Curb Your Enthusiasm as Marty Funkhauser, okay? And Super Dave and Gene Okerlund are a lot alike, okay? Why I like them both. Super Dave was always, like, played it straight. That's made it funny, okay? He Super Dave was a evil Knievel type person, only he wasn't really a stunt person. That was the whole joke. But he acted like he was a stunt man when really he wasn't. And there was that whole joke. He always would get in these big accents. It was hilarious. And his character on Curb Your Enthusiasm, hilarious. You want to see something funny? Go check out Bill Simmons's Twitter timeline. And he posted a link to a podcast that he I forgot the other guy's name. I think it was Jacoby did with Bob Einstein, Super Dave Osborne, about 2 years ago. The funniest podcast episode you'll hear. Really good. Also, if you like comedians and cars with coffee with Jerry Seinfeld, Seinfeld had Bob Einstein on twice. Absolutely hilarious. If you search Bob Einstein on Twitter, there's a great clip of him on Curb Your Enthusiasm where he told a joke to Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David that's not scripted, okay? All Jerry Seinfeld knows was that now Bob Einstein can tell a joke. And Jerry Seinfeld, who never laughs, laughed and doubled over, and they kept the take. Larry David goes, oh, we're keeping that because people never hear you laugh. Like, he actually, and it was kind of a raunchy joke about this girl. Really, like, really yeah. good stuff. So, Bob Einstein, Mean Gene Oakland, both going, they're both kind of in a way very, you know, Mean Gene's funny in their own way, but really cool. Cool people, good memories.
Well, I'll never forget Mean Gene Okerlund. Just tough for me. All right. So, Sunday night, we didn't talk much about Clemson today. That's because Sunday night's show is going to be devoted to the national championship game. We will have a breakdown on the national championship game. We're going to go position by position and talk about who has a better matchup at each spot. We'll get into that on Sunday night. We'll also talk some hoops Sunday because we've got tomorrow night the Clemson women get started in ACC play. They play Syracuse tomorrow night. Amanda Butler's got those young ladies at 8-4 doing a good job up there at Clemson, playing a lot better than they have in the past. I'm not sure how the Gamecock women are doing. I don't know about them, but I know the Clemson men play Saturday at Duke. Hopefully Zion Williamson doesn't hit his head on the backboard and embarrass the hell out of us, but hopefully we go up there and play well. Clemson's had a week to prepare for Duke, so we'll definitely talk some hoops on Saturday. But the big thing will be the national championship game on Monday night. All right, Comrade, do you have anything else for the show?
That's it. Sounds good, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot. With that, this show's a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at RobSoundsGood and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.